Radio with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
All right, welcome to the show. We're so glad you're listening. We're so excited that it's the month of December. Do you love December, Mary Pat?
I do. It's fun.
It is a lot of fun. Our guest for this segment is Lisa Sini. She is a senior living designer, has been doing that for 3 decades. Aging by Design, she's written a couple of books. I'm kind of excited to talk to her. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, what got you started on this on the senior living designer stuff? Was there a need in your family? It just kind of was your passion. Tell me about it.
It was kind of, you know, it was kind of an evolution. I was like a normal kid that didn't realize what I wanted to do until I was doing it and then fell in love with it. So I thought I was going to be this great retail designer and work for doing the Limited or Reebok or somebody like that. And I ended up falling into healthcare, acute care, and I worked for a hospital system.
Oh.
And when I was younger, when I was in high school, I always wanted to be a doctor, and I was a blue-collar kid, and I kind of didn't do my strategy right. I didn't realize you had to have a strategy of going to college and especially being a doctor. So ended up kind of falling into something. I took one of those tests, and it said you should be an interior designer. It's logical and it's creative, and I had gotten a bunch of art awards. So did that, and then ended up being a healthcare designer at a large system with 3 hospitals and just absolutely loved it. And in that, I got introduced to senior living and I realized, wow, I get to impact patients for on an average 3 days. But I could impact someone in their end of life. Mm-hmm. And my grandparents and great-grandparents had always been very near and dear to me. My children, As I was having them, they ended up having 6 great-grandparents alive at one time.
Wow. Blessed.
And so it was a natural progression to kind of see how I could make interior design really improve quality of life as we age.
Wow. I'm going to backtrack just a tiny bit. So when you were designing in a hospital, what kinds of things, were you talking about just furniture placement, or help me wrap my brain around what it is exactly that you do?
Right. So there's a little bit difference between interior design and interior decoration.
Got
They're
it.
Both really, really necessary, but I went to school for interior design.
Okay.
And in that, you do a lot of flow management, industrial design. How do you, so I did everything from labs. So imagine that I did a brand new lab and your loved one is on the operating table and I had to make sure that I phased it and structured it.
Wow.
So that no matter what, when they took that biopsy and sent it down to the lab, that it would come up in minutes so that they could either decide whether it was cancer or not.
Wow.
And to close you up or to take it out. So it was that kind of design. Anything from getting you out of the car at the ER, you know, or a family loved one member that was upset, getting them back from the cafeteria to where you are in the ER, all the way through, you know, the lab.
Well, God bless you for that. I didn't know there were people that did that. It's a fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
It's fascinating.
It takes a whole country to run a hospital, I'll tell you.
Oh, man.
I believe that.
Yeah. So the transition led you to write a couple of books.
That's correct.
The most current is The Future is Here, Senior Living Reimagined. Tell us what that book is mostly about. I mean, the title kind of gets
away. Yeah, that was actually the first book. What I found that with working with, for about 25 years, I've really focused on senior living. And what I found was that my clients weren't taking hold of technology. You know, here I was showing up at Lowe's. We were, you know, I've always flipped houses and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'd show up at Lowe's and I'd see that they had technology at Lowe's that we didn't have in senior living for seniors.
Okay.
And I thought, what the heck is going on? So I got invited to a couple think tanks, Singularity University and Abundance 360, and I got to sit with these guys that I was the dumbest person in the room,
to
tell you. It was like sitting with like Einstein and Edison and all
geez.
These guys. You know, and I'd sit next to them. I still don't know how I got invited. I think it was a God thing. But, you know, they would say, I'd say, what do you do? And they go, well, I'm mining, you know, asteroids. And, oh, I just launched my first satellite. And I'm like, they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, well, you know, I am an interior designer. You know, I get a lot of calls about color and space planning and things like that, you know. But what I realized was I was there for a reason. That there was all this technology that was going to help us be more independent and be able to really choose where and why and how we wanted to age. And that maybe that was something that I was supposed to bring to the world and talk about.
Well, let's talk about it. What are the latest technologies, you know, for the aged, people who are aging in place?
Right. So, you know, I have two different things. So I ended up then doing a social experiment and moving my mom and dad and grandmother in with me and having a living laboratory. So I experiment on them. And they know about the experimentation. and, you know, around Christmas and that, we have four generations in one household. But while the kids were in high school, the first couple of years of the experiment, we had four nonstop.
Wow.
So some of the technology is the Internet of Things. You know, anything from just being able to feel safer in your own home that you couldn't have 3-4 years ago. You know, you had the fall risk alerts. There's a lot of studies that say that as we age, baby boomers especially, fear more not being able to take care of themselves than they do dying.
I agree. I think independence is right up there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So if you can have technology that allows you to be more independent and take care of yourself, then, you know, you can have a better quality of life and you don't have those things kind of ripped away from you, those freedoms, or you don't have to make those hard choices.
Mm-hmm.
Do I drive or do I not drive? So autonomous vehicles is one of them. You know, if a car can, you know, parallel park by itself, which it can, if it can tell me that I'm veering off into the lane, it can, or I'm getting too close to somebody else and slow me down, my car can do all that. That helps me to drive longer.
Right, because they'll take away people's license if they can't see very well or, you know.
Exactly right.
Get older.
You know, in our house, this is probably very uncouth to talk about, but it's very important. We have bidet toilet seats that are on all the toilets. So that allows.
I don't know what that is.
It's a seat that goes on top of your toilet, and it puts it to the appropriate height. And basically, it's heated. It's got a nightlight. It will wash you and blow dry you.
What? What's this called? What is this called? A day toilet?
Bidet.
Oh, a bidet. I know what a bidet is. I know what a bidet is. Got it. Okay.
But it's different. It's different than the ones that are in Europe. This came from Japan. The ones in Europe, you have to transfer your, you know, your basically naked bum over to another thing.
You're so uncouth. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly. This. You're on. You know. You're on the same toilet, and it's actually so much healthier for you, so much better for you. It's the proper height. And I'll tell you, it's a win for everyone in the family. So that allows you to be more independent. Like my mom and dad don't have to worry that I would ever have to do anything. And for my grandma, she's able to take care of herself the majority of the time.
I have a question.
So,
and I hope it's not a stupid question. Is it like when you're in your car, driver number one, driver number two? Kind of a, does it have settings?
You can do settings. You totally can do settings on it. Yeah, you're right.
Love
100%
it.
Right.
I know what's on Julie's Christmas list.
No, be my mom's. My mom complains that the toilets are too low all the time, everywhere she goes.
Oh,
yeah. She's 84. So
yes, this is perfect.
She
and
would
I'll
love
tell you
that.
What. If I had to recommend one thing for the house, that would be it. It was, and you could talk to my kids. My kids are, you know, my daughter Adelina is over in college in Rome. My son's in college in California.
Mm-hmm.
They miss the toilet more than anything.
That's funny. It's not mom. It's the toilet.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course.
I'm sure mom's right up there. Where do you live, Lisa?
We live in Columbus, Ohio.
Oh, I love that town. Okay. Very good.
Ohio. Yeah. So the Midwest. So, you know, that's where nursing homes basically got their birth was in Ohio.
What? Who knew? Why?
Lima, Ohio. And I'm not quite sure why or how it happened, but that's how it happened. And so we have a real foundation of senior living in healthcare in Ohio, and then you have a large population and a lot of folks that stay and don't relocate to other locations.
Maybe it's a Midwest thing. We got to get this show over there, Mary Pat, over to Ohio.
That's exactly right. You absolutely have to, because you guys are a hoot. So, you know, I would do that. I would do, we have Alexa, we have cameras.
Now, is Alexa the Amazon one? No,
it is.
The Google one.
I'm right now,
Amazon.
I've got Alexa downstairs for my mother because she works on iPad and she's trialing that.
Got it.
And I just got the Google Home because Google's in the game now.
Yes. Now, but so when you say that, you feel like it's a good enough product for your house. So you're like, okay, they got this.
Well, do those two argue?
Yeah.
Now, you know, right now, I want to see who's better. So Google, for me right now, might have an edge over Alexa for seniors.
Interesting.
Here's why I would say that.
Why do you say that? For seniors. Okay.
I would say that because it has a better voice recognition.
Ah. Uh-huh.
The Alexa makes you ask questions in a very specific way, and it's like playing Jeopardy.
Oh, I love Jeopardy, though. But that would be annoying.
You're good.
That would be annoying.
So we have trackers. There's a little thing called Tracker, which is also a great thing. So these are all things you can pick up at a store or go to my site, Best Living Tech. So trackers are, we put it on my mom's iPad, her phone, her keys, and she could say, Alexa, ring my phone.
Nice.
And it'll tell her where that's at because the tracker is hooked up to her phone and it's hooked up to Alexa.
Nice. So Alexa knows where her phone is. It can find it because, that's so cool.
How old is your mother?
So my mom is... Oh, God, I'm going to get this wrong, and then she's going to, like, listen to this, and I'm going to be in so much trouble.
I'm sorry.
I want to say she's 87, and in February she'll be 88. My grandmother's 95 and has dementia.
Oh,
okay.
Really severe. And then my dad is 70. So my mom's 78. Did I say 80? She's 78. My dad's 79. And then my grandmother's 95.
Okay.
And then my husband and I are, you know, I'm 49 and he's 51. And then we have the kids that are in there. Now they're 20 and 23, but they were in their teens in high school when we started this whole mess.
Your experiment. So. You're living at your live laboratory.
It sounds so cool, doesn't it?
It does.
But it's really, we're just all living together.
And so. it's like biosphere, but not really. So I just popped up your website, bestlivingtech.com, just how
correct.
It sounds. Very cool. You can find, tell us what we can find on the website. I'm looking at it, but tell our audience.
So, and the reason why we did that was I was just infuriated, to be quite honest, that nobody had this out there. I'm like, what if somebody wants to age in place? I was trying to find products for my mom and dad before they moved in with us. And I'm like, this is not out there. And I had access to all of it because of senior living. And I thought, what are they trying to do? You know, the best thing that I could ever do in my career, or the thing that I could hope for, is that they would find some magic pill and no one would have dementia or Alzheimer's and have to go into the places that I do.
Right.
Or that you could be completely independent if you wanted to be. You know, if you want to be in a community that has high activities, that's fantastic. But being forced to be in a situation, I think I would rather lose my, you know, livelihood and be able to have that positive impact. And I thought, is it just that people think that they don't want to stay in their own homes or be able to, you know, this is even great for independent living homes. So I thought, I'll get this out there. The win is that I'm in the senior living business. My, you know, whole mission is to improve quality of life by design. And that doesn't matter whether you're in your own house or in one of the country clubs that has, you know, assisted daily living activities that the team can provide for you. It really doesn't matter. My job is to help you age how you want to.
I love that. Lisa Sini, hate to let you go. We're going to do that, though. We've got another guest that we're going to talk to on this show. Can we talk to you again?
Oh, I would just absolutely love that. So I would. And I promise I won't talk about the toilet.
That was probably my favorite part of the interview. That's my favorite part of the interview. What are you talking about? The website
is
bestlivingtech.com. Our guest is Lisa Sini. Thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. More Boomer Radio in just a moment on Freedom 95.
We'll have more Boomer Radio right after this. Boomer Radio with Julie Patterson on Freedom 95.
Welcome back. Eric Halverson is with us, Mary Pat. I'm so excited. Hi, Eric.
Good morning. Good to be with you again.
Well, Eric is on the cover of Indie Boomer magazine this month. Pretty good picture of you, too, sir.
Well, thank you. It's quite a treat to be on the cover. It's not something I ever expected, so
it keeps
my ego built up, which is nice these days.
Well, I'm looking at the picture, and I noticed for the first time you got a red, one of those red rubber armband things. Is that something special to you, or you just happened to be there wearing it that day?
When the picture was taken, that and the pink stripes in the tie were part of the Real Men Wear Pink campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So we were part of the, Kroger was part of the fundraiser trying to help fight breast cancer. And it's been a campaign that Kroger's been part of for a long time, and I was pleased to be part of it this year.
Good. I like even more.
Yeah.
Eric, so you spent a good number of years doing the news, most of it at Channel 8, right?
Yes.
How long was that?
From 1983 until, 2 years ago, whatever the math was.
Right.
So about 32, 33 years at Wish, and then 3 years at the old Channel 4 when Sammy Terry was there and mm-hmm. Cowboy Bob was still there. I got to work with those guys.
That's very cool. I remember one of my fondest memories of Eric, and I want to say it was the early 90s. Was the very first Ride Your Bike to Work Day that we had in the city.
I was going to ask if you remembered that, because I remember we rode our bike downtown.
Yeah, from
that
Broad Ripple
cool.
to downtown, past the mayor's mansion or the governor's mansion and stuff. And yeah, I think at the time I was doing maybe aerobics, but I was not. I mean, I do triathlons now, so it would be much easier.
I know. You're a serious athlete now. That's pretty impressive.
It's kind of weird.
Because I've slowed down. You've picked up.
Well, I got to overcompensate. But, yeah, at the time, I remember, man, that was taxing. But it was fun. I remember that. It was one of my fondest memories of the fun stuff that celebrities get to do, right?
Yeah. There was one where there was a race between somebody on a bike, somebody on a bus, and somebody on a car. And I was the somebody on a bike to see who could get downtown first.
Yeah?
Well, I won. I got downtown first, but then I had to ride back home to take a shower because Wish didn't have a shower, and then I drove back downtown. So
That's right.
Kind of defeated the purpose, but it was a fun test anyway.
That's a great test. You know, and you go to the TV thing, and it's one of the things I've got to tell you that I don't miss about television, and you can correct, maybe you feel the same, maybe you don't, that, you know, because I did it for Daybreak earlier, and you had to try to look good every day. The makeup had to be perfect, and the hair had to be perfect, and it was just so tedious for me. I don't know. For a guy, it seemed like it was a lot easier. Just kind of slapped on some makeup. Did you ever have to put anything on your eyebrows?
You know, there was a time when, if you remember one of our consultants,
That's why
she created a combination of a look for me that I wish I could show you the faces of the general manager, the news director, and the chief engineer who were in the GM's office when she walked me in. She was so proud of what she had created, and they all together, their jaws just dropped, and the GM said, I think we need to tone it down just a little bit. She drew a cleft in my chin.
Julie is rolling here. I don't know if she'll be able to continue.
People don't understand. I think most people don't understand that we'd have what they call an image consultant come in, and they would tell us what colors to wear and, you know, and what makeup to wear, what colors, you know, for women on their eyes and their cheeks. And, you know, they'd help you with that. And it was helpful, I would say, a lot. But
sometimes,
this is a true story. And I'll just say the consultant, her name started with a D. You know who I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We had her for quite a long time and lovely person. But I had a blue suit. Now it's more separates and casual. But at the time in the 90s, it was suits. So
right.
I had this kind of a, I want to say a peacock blue suit, right? She's like, darling, that is terrible. It's just terrible. It doesn't fit you well. The sleeves are too long. And she went on and on. And I'm like, okay. Put the back of my closet because I kind of liked the color and I kind of liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she comes to town. It was probably a year or two later. I have that suit on purpose. And she's like, I love that suit. It is gorgeous, blah, blah. And she went on and on. And it was like,
kidding?
The same one. Yeah.
It was the same suit. But yeah, in TV, you know, they would tell us things like that, right?
Right. Well, there was one time also, more recently, when I was going between glasses and contacts, and the news director said, well, he used to wear glasses when he was on the air, so I could wear glasses. And I,
yes,
they weren't sure they liked the glasses, so I had to take in 7 different pairs of glasses so they could look at them and decide which one I liked the best.
That's hilarious. And of course, they did pick one, right?
Yes. Yes, they did. So, and it was pretty close to the ones I had originally.
Oh, gosh.
Then they decided they didn't like those, so I had to shift over to contacts because there was something about the way the line hit my eyes. And they said, somebody called and said, you look like an angry professor.
Oh, my gosh. And that one person's opinion
mattered. One person
more than
was it,
else.
And I went back to contacts.
So crazy. So crazy.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I mean, can you think of an example? I know we all got these types of emails. You know, can you remember one nasty gram? You probably never got any.
Oh, I did. There are a couple that come to mind. One, not so funny, but there was one from our Chopper 8 days when somebody was not pleased with having us hovering over his house, and he said if we ever did it again, he would shoot us down.
Oh, dear. Okay.
And then there were a couple of really good ones. I just had one, and it went out of my head. But most of them were pretty funny. There was one, actually, that was inspired by, you know, when we're doing the questions and answers,
yes,
after the stories, the questions weren't really spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question
that
scripted. Patty wanted me to ask that was something that explained another part of the movie that that she had just reviewed.
Yeah.
And a woman in Muncie, I believe, took exception to the question because she said I was sexist in the question, and she didn't think that, she thought that I was describing women as delicate flowers. And I sent her a note back that tried to explain how we do some of these things, said, but I promise if I ever meet you, I will not consider you a delicate flower.
And it was just like that. I know.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
And I was just, we were doing what our little system said, and people, and as we see on social media now, people are awfully quick to complain, and now it's just easier because they can do it on social media rather than actually writing a letter on paper.
I remember probably one of the ones that I got that sticks with me the most is an English teacher sent me an email. And, you know, I did traffic on Daybreak. So she says, you're using the word incident improperly.
Oh.
So I never uttered the word incident again. I mean, literally for years. I didn't use that word when I was talking about traffic.
She
must be right.
Yeah, one of our photographers caught me in probably my first week in a phrase that I have since learned not to, misuse, because I said something about most unique, and he said, no, it's unique or it's not. There is no qualifier. So that was one of the points where I said,
okay,
don't underestimate your photographers. These guys are pretty smart.
Oh, they are, you know, and they always had input, which was a good thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They were part of the story, too.
Yeah, and a lot of them had been around, especially in my early days, a lot of them had more experience on the streets of the city. So if I needed advice about certain people they met or certain events they remembered, we could go to them. We'd get the credit for it, but it was often the photographer who was the motivation behind a certain memory or a concept in a story.
They always bring a great deal of value, I found.
Yep.
Yeah,
definitely.
They're good. Oh my gosh, are we out of time, Jeremy? Or are we okay? I didn't even get to talk to you about. I have 2 minutes. Oh crap. Okay. So, so you have made a transition into public relations with Kroger. What is your official title?
Manager of Corporate Affairs. It's changed once, so Manager of Corporate Affairs, but also we just say Kroger spokesperson.
I like that. And is it for Central Indiana or?
For the Central Division. So we are over most of Indiana, most of Illinois, a little bubble of Missouri, Michigan, and Ohio.
Okay, wow. So that sounds like a big job. Are you pretty busy? now?
Yes. I've taken to telling people that I miss the slow pace of the newsroom.
Wow!
Because we're opening stores enough to that there isn't really any downtime. Mm-hmm. A lot of my job involves philanthropy, the corporate philanthropy, so people are calling routinely to see if we can donate some corporate dollars or gift cards or gift baskets to their organization. There's a political element to it. So, yeah, it's never dull.
It doesn't sound like it.
No, I think you're very busy.
So right? You're busy. Yeah. You like it well enough?
Yeah, yeah. Good. I don't have to wear makeup anymore,
yay!
So that's a positive right there.
And stick that IFB in your ear and that box down your...
It's funny. I found that one ear is not as good as the other one anymore, and the one that's lost hearing is the one that had that earpiece in there.
Yeah, I believe you.
So, and I did find the thing in a drawer, and the plastic is kind of crispy. I don't know that it would still work anymore.
I still have mine, too.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Can't get rid of it.
No,
but,
I just can't. So, yeah. Eric, I've loved you so much over the decades just because you're such a great guy, and I'm so glad you're doing well.
Yeah, thank you. I'm enjoying it, and the Kroger people have been very patient teaching me the business because I didn't grow up in this as so many people did, and I appreciate their generosity and their time and their patience to help me understand how it all works.
They're good people. All my dealings with them, they are good people. Well, you have a happy holiday, sir.
Okay, thank you. You too. Thanks for the opportunity. Good talking with you again.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
And you're listening to Boomer Radio. We thank you so much. It's here every Saturday, 4:30 p.m. on Freedom 95.
This has been Boomer Radio on Freedom 95 with your host, Julie Patterson. Join us again next Saturday at 4:30.